Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I'm the tallest rambler by some distance.
Ladies and gentlemen from just about everywhere, it's the Football Ramble, and my name is Marcus, and I've got three magnificent men by my side. Jim.
Evening.
Pete.
Kennedy acted on anniversary.
And Luke.
All right.
Yes. Righto then, boys. Have you seen this? Bayern's Manuel Neuer, the goalkeeper, very good goalkeeper as well, recently won $500,000 for charity on the German edition of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? So, I'd like to ask you, if you had to go on that very same programme, obviously the English version, with a footballer, who would it be with? Jim.
Is it a footballer from any era?
Any era.
Any era.
Could be
right.
A manager as well, if you like.
Right, this initially will seem like a terrible choice.
Right.
Right. But it's a two-parter, right? I would choose Kevin Keegan to go on with, right? Obviously, he's going to be maddeningly indecisive. Like, really, this will be his own personal hell.
I think I'll be out of my depth here, Jim.
Yeah.
When he gets like $100,000.
Yeah, it'll be the first one. It's like A, B, C, or D.
Is it A or B, like, Kevin?
A. What are you going to spend the money on, Kevin? A mental Colombian with rubber legs.
So, yeah, he will really struggle.
First and firstly, question would be, I've had a lovely day, Chris.
Yeah.
Whatever is the difference of $16,000 and $32,000?
Yeah.
Let him get to it, Jim. Come on,
yeah, the entertainment factor would be brilliant. For me, I would openly just sit there enjoying him struggling.
Yeah, it's great.
Then we'd inevitably go out really, really early on. Because, you know, I think actually maybe you could sort of, you could keep him in check a bit, because if he's really sure about something, you think this is a crucial decision, so almost certainly wrong.
Yeah.
And then just sort of go against that. But if you did eventually go out, he'd feel so guilty. Yeah. He'd just donate the, like, from his own money, just donate the same amount to charity.
Yeah. I've seen the celebrities do that before on that show. They've said, oh, well, we'll pay ourselves.
Can I just say, actually, Keegan is a brilliant bloke.
Yeah.
And was a magnificent player.
Yeah.
We put him in the Hall of Fame. We always just slate him, though. But we don't.
It's affectionate.
It is. We love Keegan.
He's a cuddly man.
No, we do love Keegan. Pete, who are you going for?
Strictly a footballer. Am I allowed to just someone from football?
Go on.
Athol Still.
Oh, yeah.
Sven Göran Eriksson's agent. I imagine. Chris Tarrant had asked the question.
He's his agent.
And he'd just give him a steely glare.
Mm.
And it would just fall silent. And then after about 5 minutes, he'd give him the money. Yeah. He'd give him a million. He'd go,
double it. He'd double it.
Okay, then. Okay, have the money.
Yeah. Fine.
Okay, I see where you've gone for that. Luke.
I went for a more sort of cerebral choice, knowing that of my own, painfully aware of my own sort of general knowledge limitations, and thought, I'll go for Socrates.
Yes.
Because according to the research I did around Socrates, because of this question, his specialist subjects appear to be medicine, philosophy, politics, and economics. Mm. Right. And if I cover off like a certain section of indie music, the 1991-92 Portsmouth season, and Italian 90, yeah, we've got all our bases covered, and we've got the best chance of winning it. And because it is for charity, it's important that you do your best.
I was going to choose Zlatan, because whatever the answers, and Tarrant goes, well, I'm afraid it's, well, I think you find it is. I think you find Rommel was a British commander in the Second World War. He wouldn't have it. Or I'd have a Clark Carlisle.
Yeah, it's a good one. I thought about doing Clark.
Yeah.
I thought about doing Beckham just so I could spend an afternoon with him.
That's true.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Luke's got the points.
Yeah, of course I have.
You knew you had as well.
Who wants to be a millionaire? That's why it was that tune.
I'd quite like what Manuel Neuer said after he got to the $500,000 mark and decided not to go on any further. He just said, now's the end of the gamble.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. Now,
German is a particularly great language for like just things not translating very well.
Yeah. Now it's the end of the gamble. Yeah. Pretty soft.
Yeah. Right, let's move on to the Premier. Now's the start of the Premier League. Manchester City 3.
It's been going for months, mate.
Yeah. Not on this show. Not that day on this show. It's Manchester City 3, Newcastle United 1. City become the first team in Premier history to win 11 of their first 12 games.
Yes.
Got there.
Hell of a stat. But we're pulling stats out of our arse every single week, it seems, the Premier League.
Yeah, I think it is. Pete, your boys lost.
You know, we didn't do too... We're twice as good as Manchester United, so... Micah Richards was just killing us. Yeah. Specifically Ryan Taylor. I thought he played particularly badly. And, you know, he's not the best defender. He can't tackle. He lets the players just march past him and, you know...
Does score a screamer every now and then, though.
Well, yeah. That's the problem.
He had a true Newcastle style.
He's great with a free kick and he scored two very important goals this season, like Sunderland and, of course, a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, I would like to see David Santon.
I think overall he's been okay this season, but he had a poor game against City.
He had a fairly awful game.
Do you think Richard's not picked by Capello? He's having a great season though.
It's funny, I was reading about this because we mentioned it, didn't we, a week or two ago. He said it's a bit of a shame he's not in the squad, what's happening, and I read around it a little bit, and someone asked Capello, they said, you know, is Michael Richards going to be in your plans, is he going to be in the squad, and Capello said it's up to him. And then someone pushed up on that, I think on Sunday Supplement, and then someone asked Mancini about it. Mm-hmm. And Mancini was basically agreeing with Capello that Richards apparently has got this bit of a reputation for not following instructions, being a bit hot-headed, not being able to stick to a system. And I think Capello feels at that level, it's very important that he does what he's told. But you know what Capello's like.
Of course.
And that's why he's not been considered.
Well, I did wonder if something had gone on, like in sort of previous squads.
As far as I know,
like
not
that,
personally, or... I don't think, no. But yeah, I don't know, but that's what I've read.
He made his debut, like, how many years ago? Mm. Five years ago.
I mean, do you remember for a time he and Sean Wright Phillips looked like they were going to be sort of England's right side?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how long ago it was. Yeah. Richards made his debut.
Well, it's one of those things where he's more of a wing back than he's ever been a defender, but he's just such a big fella. He's just hard to get past. Standing in front of him, you wouldn't know which way to go. You'd go for the nutmeg.
He went through that funny face, didn't he, of sort of believing his own hype a little bit. And Vieira had a bit of a go at him.
He was moved into the centre a bit as well. So everybody thought he was going to go on to be a really commanding centre back. That doesn't seem to have happened, but you know, that's not to his detriment, because he's just got so much better at right back.
Yeah.
I mean, through Micah Richards, we did manage to get a couple of chances though, weirdly, against Man City. If we'd taken those, who knows what might have happened.
Newcastle had early chances.
Two or three chances we could have put
and
away.
And towards the end as well. Ben Arthur, good to see him back. At that
ground
again as well.
Well, he runs at players and he seemed to... he played a lot better than I've seen him play all season on his slight cameos. Good to see Sammy on the pitch as well.
Oh, he started the game. Showed on the bench. That's going to cause rifts in the Amiobi family.
No, they're one big happy family. We've seen them in their onesies.
Yeah. I thought Ben Arthur looks like he's just getting fully fit again now. He looks like he will be a player, you know, a real decent player again, which I know, you know, that thing that Shearer talked about, how no one had heard of him or anything. We obviously had heard of him, but it's always a question. It's always a question mark over when there's such a serious injury, whether the player's going to get back to that level again.
And you know, he's always been known as somebody who's got a bit of a hot head at times and stuff. Yeah. And it's about, and Pardew's admitted himself that it's about managing his personality, because he is quite a... He's a bit of a kind of an Elka character.
That is his job, though, isn't it, Pardew?
That is his job. That is on his CV, yeah.
But the thing with Ben Arthur as well is his injury came so early into his Newcastle career. You could still argue he's not adjusted to the English game, you know, because he's not got a lot of experience of it, despite having been here for so long. So
he did hang out with Joey Barton for most of last season, so you know.
Did he really?
No, but I mean, well, he's in the team, Marcus.
I thought you may...
No, I don't think we're out on the next
an unlikely friendship.
I think I'm right in saying that Newcastle's team, back five, have been ever-present this season as well, which has been a big sort of foundation of how well they've done.
Yeah, it's all about consistency. You look at sort of, and you sort of look at somebody like Shea Given at Villa at the weekend. I just sort of think, man, if he'd had that defence in front of him and had it for two or three seasons, he played in front of, or rather behind, something like 50 different defenders or something over his time in Newcastle. Cole's an excellent keeper, of course. He should really be
England's number one.
He should really be the Dutch number one, but obviously he's got a hell of a keeper in front of
he's
him.
He's only young though, isn't he, Cole? He's got plenty of years ahead of him.
What about Swansea's keeper?
Oh yeah.
He's good, Vaughan.
Yeah, he gets a lot of work.
He does get a lot of work. And he lost 1-0 to Manchester United.
Week before last, he played out of his absolute skin. He dropped a couple of clangers earlier in the season, but he's going to be one hell of a keeper.
Yeah, he's decent. United went there 1-0. First in the Swansea.
They're doing what they always do, aren't they? It's such a cliche about sort of, you've got to win when you're playing badly. But it's basically Man United that have reinforced that cliche. They do it so often, and they're still doing it, like just bouncing back from that sort of the drubbing they got off the hands of City. And off the hands of... That's not how it works. Off the feet of City. But you know, a lot of teams were just like, I mean, look at Arsenal. They got their absolute like spanking at Old Trafford, and then they just couldn't get a win. They just kept messing things up. United have clearly been rattled by it, but they're still winning.
Well, I think Ferguson's trying to turn it into a. It's really galvanised them. I think. Mm. I think it's formed this real siege mentality around it, and they're not playing. Perhaps magnificently well, but the thing that I think is worth remembering is it's a long season, and in the new year, the team who have got the experience of winning these things will win in Premier Leagues, and the manager is the ultimate Premier League manager. Mm. That's going to give them a huge advantage next season. In the new year.
But it's like when we're talking about like Newcastle going to Man City. This is not where their season will live or die. It's about winning against the Wigans and the rest. It's only one game, the Man City match for United. You know, if they can creep a 1-0 every week.
If it was such a big score. Mm. That people think, City must have got 3 or 4 points from that.
But look at the facts. Absolutely. But, look at the facts. I mean, you started off by saying that City have had the best ever start to a Premier League.
Yeah.
In Premier League history since 1992, they've won 11 out of 12 games. United are only five points behind them, and I've still got to play them. Mm. So, there's such a long way to go.
Are you suggesting it's all to play for?
I am. And on the Swansea thing as well, one other thing, I'm not sure how many Swansea fans listen, potentially quite a few, but. The thing is, the way they play, they're always going to see goals like that.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen.
But they've got to get used to it.
Yeah, they've got to get used to it. They've just got to. Brendan Rodgers said after the game, it's my fault that Rangnick made that mistake.
I liked how he said that.
Yeah, I told them to play. And they're not just going to start lumping it because they're playing Man United. They're going to stick to their philosophy, which I quite like.
It doesn't bring you any guarantee as well, just lumping it like that. You know?
No.
You still see teams that play like that getting absolutely spanked.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as we said about Wigan, you know, every goal is a mistake.
Exactly, every goal is a mistake. Jim, you're right, because if you think about it rationally, you're effectively saying we're going to lump the ball out of danger because they're a better team than us.
You give it straight back to them.
But then you've got a 50-50 situation to win the ball, and effectively you're playing against better players. So
it's not even 50-50, is it? You know, it's even worse odds in your favour.
And it's quite an audacious thing as well, because I think it's very basic sort of level, the whole Route 1 thing, is you're trying to volley it in. From the keeper.
Yeah.
The ball can't touch the ground on the way. It's like heads and volleys, basically. Yeah.
They should play beach football. Because it's quite handy to play it in the air, obviously, because it's quite difficult to knock it along the sand.
Who's there? Who are we talking about now?
People who lump it.
Yeah. Okay.
For a moment, I thought you meant like instead of... Like normal football.
Well, no, but if you're saying you don't want the ball to touch the ground before the goal, then beach football. Get it in the air.
It's one for the 39th game.
You've not seen beach football.
Jim looks stunned.
Yeah, we're aware of beach football, Marcus, yeah. But we're just wondering why you're suggesting it instead of replacing the Premier League.
That's not
with
what
beach
he's
football.
Saying. No, he's not saying that we should replace it. He's just saying they should do it to train.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah,
there's been a confusion.
And there should be an underwater level like in Sonic. And they should play at the bottom of the sea.
Anyway, what's wrong with you? Why you're not at a top club?
Chelsea lost at home to Liverpool 2-1.
They did.
They were knocking balls in the ground when they should really have been shooting towards the goal market.
Is that two games in a row they lost at the Bridge?
Yeah,
in
the first time in a long, long time that's happened.
Wouldn't happen on a Mourinho, bring him back.
Did you see this Maltese fella put on like a €1 onto an accumulator, and that late goal from Glenn Johnson bagged him £500,000.
Wow.
Apparently this weekend's been like the worst weekend for the turf account of the betting shops, because all the fancy teams won in every single league in the UK. It was weird.
Did he say after he won, now is the end of the game?
Now is the end of the game. Because there's literally no more ties on the form.
And what about Wigan Blackburn? 3-3, fantastic game. A goal from Pedersen's corner, which should never have been a goal.
Well, they cheated. Mm. They actively cheated.
Did they cheat?
Yakubu properly cheated.
I don't know. Was Yakubu not... Did he not just miss?
I think that's what happened. I think he just missed.
Is that really likely?
It's far... From his point of view, it makes far more sense to just lightly touch it than pretend to do it. It's the same outcome. The ball's not going anywhere.
He hasn't done it.
I don't know.
Let me just get it straight.
You're legitimately suggesting a Premier League footballer with tons and tons of goals under his belt doesn't know whether he's kicked a ball or not.
Well, look, the other option is stupider. What's no. Where's the benefit in
what
him
has
cheating?
He done it? What
where's
he...
the benefit in him cheating?
No, but you're saying he's missed, right? If he misses and then goes back, you see Pedersen, they've obviously done it. He runs at a certain time and Pedersen will run over. If you don't get that right, you then have to run back and touch it again. It's obvious. He's meant to just touch it out and then Pedersen comes over as if it's not been touched. Whereas if he does it,
I know, I'm aware of the ruse, but what I'm saying is they've extended that ruse a lot further and said, "Do you know what? Linesmen
don't even bother.
Linesmen don't look that much when we're taking them. They look at the tussles happening in the box and stuff, so just pretend, just don't do it, and I mean, no one will say anything." And Yakubu, that's why it worked.
Yakubu does have a reputation as a very lazy player, so maybe you just okay, thought, yeah. Nah, well, I won't do that bit. I'm sure it'll be fine.
I think you guys have to stop arguing because I've all forgotten that Paul Robinson won a penalty.
He did, yeah.
And until you see Paul Robinson running towards a goal, you don't see how big he is.
Yeah,
it's weird because the keeper is the same sort of body shape as Yakubu, so they've sort of got this sort of fat spine. Yeah. Oh, Blackburn Rovers. They've been at Fat Sam's gravy tap that he got his score.
Yeah.
It's weird, like, because Paul Robinson scored a goal from open play once as well. Yeah, he's got some really odd stats to his name.
I can imagine like them going, right, Paul, get up there, because what we want you to do is cause a bit of chaos in the box and win a penalty. Yeah, I'm up for that. Yeah, that sounds really good. By getting kicked in the face. What?
Nothing. Just it went from sort of grimace to yes to ow, that really
hurt. What a horrendous challenge that was.
What?
Going on there? Yeah,
it was a karate kick. Brilliant, lower end of the table game.
Even if there's not a man in front of you, it's just an odd way to kick a football.
Yeah. They basically done that thing where people just make different changes on keepers. I just barge him in.
I really liked Keane's comment at the end of the match. He said, "We will not get relegated," sort of suggesting that he might leave before that happens.
Just saw a new deal as well.
I will not get relegated.
The Steve Keane situation is so baffling, isn't it? I mean, could you imagine if Allardyce was still there? They would be nowhere near this situation. And it's all down to that.
It's very exciting at the moment. Three threes all the time.
I know what you mean, Jim.
I applaud them for sticking with the manager. There's too much short termism in football.
I just feel for the Blackburn fans. That
I don't think they should get rid of Keane. But I'm, as Jim said, no.
Jim does.
Yeah, no, totally. They would never be in this situation. Yeah, oh, okay, so you think as a sort of, you know...
That's a 6-6er sort of, over aggregate.
Yeah, as a neutral, the fun
no,
factor.
No, but the thing is, though, who would... I don't think they've got anybody lined up as well.
Line someone up. You own a football club, that's the job.
No, I just keep with him, Blackburn. Keep with him.
He keeps talking
Team
about...
Team Keane.
He keeps talking about this silent majority. You really support him. And it's like, if they really support you, why are they not reacting to the people you're not supporting? Yeah. I don't understand. But it was always... No team...
I can hear them.
Yeah, exactly.
They talk to me at night.
I can hear both of them when I go to my parents. And the thing was, no one was going to win that game because they've got two wins between them all season. Yeah. So it was a draw was the obvious result.
Well, they've still got those.
Paul Robinson didn't intentionally run into the area. He was just sort of sucked there by probability.
Yeah.
Something crazy. It's a great point for Blackburn, really, though, considering they were down to 10. Stoke 2, QPR 3. Stoke, you wouldn't have surprised.
On the ropes a bit, aren't they?
Ida Helgason again.
Great header. What a header.
He's brilliant.
That is a brilliant header.
The ball on his head, he is fantastic.
He leaps well. Mm. He heads the ball very strong. It was a bullet. Mm.
Yeah.
Bullet.
That's a fantastic result on the road, especially Stoke. Joey Barton, though, nearly gave a penalty away in the box.
Yeah. That was definitely a penalty.
What was he playing at?
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing. It was a rash challenge. It was a sort of what I would call like an Oboe challenge.
Was it Robert Huth?
I can't remember who it was on, but it was a definite penalty.
I thought it was Huth.
Speaking of Abu, have you seen the treatment he's been getting on?
Oh, my goodness.
Written down, he's gone, ow, I can't take the throw.
I can't go anywhere.
Yeah. Even the players on his own team seem to be saying, well, what are you doing?
Get on with it. Move away.
You're in Turkey. What are you doing? Get on there.
Yeah, go over there and send us over.
The physio was like holding a hand over his head, but that'll protect him. Yeah. Yeah, cheers.
It will, to an extent.
To be fair, one player was going to pretend that he's being hit by like invisible flying objects or flying crack spiders or something. It would be a booer, man.
Yeah. He'll start playing in a crash helmet now.
Yeah. Never understood when you see a player gets hit by something, and it's obviously a horrible thing, but then they go down. And you think, no, you're still in the area. You're still a target.
But they're trying to highlight it, aren't they?
Yeah, I know, but walk a few paces away and then go down.
There was a lot of stuff raining down. Yeah. It was incredible.
But he looked genuinely frightened. And I was like, don't do that to Arabue, man.
It reminded me of when he was getting team talks from the North Korea coach in the World Cup. That was amazing.
Oh, God, what a moment.
But going back to the Stoke QPR game, I remember Stoke.
We have to.
Stoke started last season really badly, didn't they? They were like in the relegation for ages.
They started quite well this season. They've done okay. I suppose I'm thinking of Europa League as well.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's what's having an effect on them, you know, it's the extra games.
Mm. Well, shall we just sort of repeat it's all to play for every yeah. week yeah. when it comes to anything?
Until it's mathematically
not. Should we stop until May?
Yeah.
It'll probably be April at this rate, Jim. Right? Let's go down to the Championship where Southampton are going very well. South Coast Derby, Southampton versus Brighton, 3-0.
Well, it isn't.
And what?
It's not a South Coast Derby.
Oh.
Well, it is a South Coast Derby.
Yeah, it's the South Coast. I mean, isn't
why?
It?
They're the two biggest teams on the South Coast. Have that.
well, that rationale then, because they're too far away for it to be a derby.
Hartlepool Brighton.
A coastal derby. Yeah, yeah.
People get confused. There's a lot of confusion over the terminology. Derby is dictionary definition of a derby is like a fiercely competitive occasion.
Yeah, or it could be local.
So anything could technically be a derby. Mm. Yeah, but then you've got to prefix it with local derby for what people generally mean.
I was just slanging it.
Or the Manchester
I call
derby.
My bedroom yeah. antics a derby, yes.
Yeah.
Right, I've been to Brighton.
and there are police involved.
I've been to Brighton on the train. Didn't take that long. No. Been to Southampton on the train. Didn't take that long. So therefore, they can't be that far apart.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
and
fine.
I question.
Move on.
Question what you're saying, Luke.
I'm not even from Newcastle. Everyone thinks I am. You know? Do you think I whinge about that every fucking week? No.
Exactly.
Move on.
Exactly. The F word there to back up that point. You're just jealous of Southampton.
They're doing well. 9 from 9 at home, which is, you know, I mean, 100% record at home is great by anyone's standard.
The Man City of the Championship.
And they've already scored 40 goals this season. Yeah. Quick note on Brighton as well. They've really fallen away.
No, they haven't.
That was a pretty poor performance by them at Southampton, which I know is a difficult place to go. As I just said, they got a great record, but Vicente's injured. He was their big sort of marquee signing. But they seem to be struggling a little
bit. You see it all the time in the Championship, though, don't you? It's such a sort of yo-yo league within, you know, any one season. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, they've got a great start. They've got good foundations to build.
Well, how many points does Southampton? They've got 5 points.
5 points clear, I think. Yeah,
clear. West Ham. Can West Ham come back and win it?
Well, West Ham have got a great manager at that level, and they've got full of experience. So yeah, I'm sure they can.
Speaking of deluded London teams, Harry Redknapp. Moving back to the Premiership briefly, Harry Redknapp reckons that Spurs can win the Premier League. Has he been drinking a lot of medicine?
He's still
found in the hospital.
Still on the morphine.
He's still on the morphine. He's off his face.
They were great.
No, they can't win it.
They were great against Villa.
They were fantastic.
Top four, though.
Modric was everywhere. He was involved in every single move. He was wonderful. Gary Neville was apoplectic.
You can really see now why Chelsea wanted Modric so much. You know,
I think I could have seen that anyway. I think he was really impressive last season.
Yeah, I know, but it's Chelsea's what Chelsea lack rather than how Modric is playing at the moment. I think they are missing that spark. You know,
To have. I mean, if you've got Modric and Parker in the centre of the pitch,
you're loving it. You're absolutely loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All day.
But some of the marking that Villa was. Oh, God. So bad.
Give him half time.
Yeah. Oh, the only way he kicked out of Boyle scored, there was no one within like 4 or 5 yards of him in the penalty area.
He's having a great time, old Adam.
Oh, he's loving it.
And can't deny. Right, let's go back down to the Championship. Middlesbrough third after drawing on the weekend. There was a heartwarming tale from the North East. I don't know if you heard this. You may remember the terrible news back in 2010 when former Borough player Gary Parkinson, who was head of youth development at Blackpool at the time, he had a stroke which left him paralysed and suffering from lock-in syndrome, which is a terrible, terrible thing. It basically means he really can't move any other part of his body apart from his eyes.
Yeah, it's bad.
It really is a horrible, horrible thing. But Tony Mowbray went to see him recently and wanted him to get him back into football somehow. And Mowbray, he gave Parkinson some DVDs to watch of potential signings so Parkinson could watch them and rate the players. And he does this by blinking to his wife to communicate. And
getting
involved. Basically, he's kind of a scout, really.
Yeah.
Which is great to see him back in
it's
football in some way.
Yeah,
totally. So I thought that was quite a nice tale.
Yeah,
from,
super.
Wish
nice
him all the best.
From the North East. Let's go down to League One. Where Huddersfield, record-breaking Huddersfield, beat Notts County 2-1, and they break Nottingham Forest league record as they've now gone 43 games unbeaten, 6 matches short of Arsenal's record of 49 league games, of course.
Didn't win the playoff final, did they? Got battered 3-0 in the playoff final, which apparently doesn't count as a league game.
Well, they bounced back well.
Yeah, true.
Gordon
Bennett. They did that for the rest of time. Never lose a league game ever again, but lose every playoff final.
It's some sort of curse.
Yeah.
It shows you how well Charlton have done this season because they're still 5 points clear.
Yeah, that's
great. 5 points seems to be the margin, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The Football League show on BBC Two on Sunday, I think it was, where they went behind
that's
the scenes.
Saturday night, BBC One, isn't it? After
I must have been watching the repeat because and they went behind the scenes with like Lee Clark and stuff, and like. It finished the game, they came in, they'd won the match, and he basically just went, "Well done, lads. then walked off. Is that all you need?
Yeah, that was when the cameras were on.
I know, yeah, and then as soon as the camera broke, you were shit, you were shit, you were shit.
Indeed. Also in League One, the two Sheffield sides, Wednesday and United, both won and are right up there in third and fifth places. Wednesday only 2 points behind Huddersfield, so we're going very well under the formidable Gary Megson.
Formidable ears.
No comments on the Megson, mates?
Yeah, let's... You know, we'll keep the pointometer in storage for a bit longer.
My point is, yeah, we often have a little dig at Megson, but they're only 2 points off the side
but
who
are... We've been through this, and we said this before. He will do okay, but he'll suck the goodness out of it. Like a vampire. You can't enjoy it.
They'll play like Sheffield Sunday.
Yeah.
It'll be drab and boring.
Liking what you did with that one, Jim. Right.
Thanks, mate.
Let's go down to League Two. At the risk of Luke's wrath, there was a Devonshire derby. Torquay 3, Plymouth 1.
Yeah.
Some people say Plymouth is in Cornwall. Yeah, they do say it's in Cornwall, but
it's not.
It's not.
Yeah. No. Who says that?
Idiots.
Idiots, yeah, because it's not.
Any drunk cartographer.
We've also got to say Northampton 2, Shrewsbury 7. Friend of the show, Murray James, will be happy. He's banging on about getting the Shrews in the show every week.
Shrews.
They've got to score 7 goals, Murray. That's how they get in the show.
Away from home as well.
I know.
Yeah, and that's another stipulation.
That's a sickener.
Northampton, they've sacked their caretaker manager, David Lee. Who stepped in to replace him? Former Blackburn keeper Tim Flowers.
Has he?
Oh,
nice.
Big Timmy Flowers is in there. Yeah.
He's still got his beard. Can someone find that out for us?
Has he got
show
a beard?
At footballramble.com.
What did
has
you say?
Has he still got his beard?
No, I don't think he does.
It'll be a different beard now, even if he has.
He will. He's got a point.
But it's from the same source. Quickly to the Blue Square Premier League. Bath City, who are currently bottom, have been receiving emails from a 17-year-old lad in South Korea asking to be taken on as manager of the team. 36 emails in total he's sent.
They've put it on their website, haven't they? Just openly
like
taking the piss out.
The best bits have they put on, yeah. He's outlining in poor English his plans that he'd put in place if he was in charge of the team. There was mention of Germany's 4-2-3-1 and all sorts. I mean, they are bottom of the Blue Square.
Yeah.
We got to lose them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Pride, in, dignity.
People in glass houses, and glass houses that are located at the foot of the table.
Yeah.
Didn't throw stones.
There we go. We can only go to one place now. It's La Liga. You'll be pleased to know there's no SPL.
Because when you get relegated from the Blue Square Premier League, you go into La Liga. That's
I want to moan about Aberdeen being rubbish.
Oh, go on then. Motherwell back to winning ways.
They're rubbish.
Yeah. Rangers drop points at home. Incredible scenes. They're only 10
they're
points
rubbish
clear
as well.
Now.
Aberdeen are having a terrible time of it under Craig Brown. Under 71-year-old Craig Brown. Do you remember, I think we covered it last season. Last season at one point, Aberdeen lost 9-0 to Celtic.
Was that under Brown?
I'm not sure.
Because it was a changeover, wasn't there?
Well, put it this way, they're still like ninth in the league. He's not done great.
They still lost 9.
Do you remember that thing we spoke about quite a bit where Craig Brown was asked who he sort of fancies for the league and he just named every team? And maybe he just sees every single team as someone that's potentially going to cause him problems.
Yeah.
And that's just coming true.
If you asked him now, he'd list every team in the league apart from Aberdeen.
Can I just say, listeners, that I tried to skip over the SPL there and they dragged it back.
Yeah, it's Pavlovian.
Getting a bit bored.
We were very, very patronising about it.
Yeah.
There's somebody tweeted, I can't remember the person who tweeted me, but with a video of a man doing a load of really, really good Scottish managerial impressions, most of which I'm not really sure how they talk anyway, so I can't vouch for their accuracy. He also does a good Steve Bruce as well. I'll stick it on Ramble Tube.
Onto
check
Ramble
it out
Tube.
At the football, you know, ramble.com.
There are better things than that on the internet. By the way, you sold that.
The League of Time.
Benton!
I was thinking Berenson.
Barcelona 4, Zaragoza 0. Messi scored his 50th goal of 2011.
Put that into perspective. People are losing their shit about RVP scoring about 30 in a calendar year. Messi, 50. Nothing's mentioned. It's just expected.
He literally mentioned it then.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not in the mainstream press or anything, is it?
Yes, it is. That's
right,
where he got
enough,
it.
Move on.
But the thing with Messi is the knives are never really out
wait,
for
I'm
him.
Back.
Because he's so lovely. You couldn't hit that, man.
No.
Van Persie's been injured quite a bit as well.
Yeah, true.
He could chase a lot of stags onto a road. Nobody would mind.
I never conceded a goal at home yet this season.
That's fucking
mental.
Yeah.
Now, possibly the biggest game of the Spanish season so far was Valencia 2, Real Madrid 3.
Mm. I don't like Real Madrid in that red kit.
No, I don't.
They look like Liverpool.
Do you know what I was
seeing Alonso playing there? It's just like, can't handle this.
There's few things more enjoyable to watch than Benzema's first goal in that red kit. Oh, look classy. Just look so classy.
Good feet.
Oh, right in the corner.
It's like the heads and volleys dream that we were talking about, in a way. The way he took it.
Well, I was going to say, is Carvalho still injured at Real Madrid? I think he is, because Ramos is playing in the middle with Pepe. And Arbeloa is playing right back. And since then, they can't stop winning. Dermot Corrigan, who writes our Spanish articles every week, was saying about it. Like, they've massively improved when they've changed. And Ramos, it's funny to think of it, but he was saying that Ramos basically considers himself, for club and country, a centre-back.
Yeah,
but he's been playing at right-back for so long, you just now assume he's a right-back.
Well, it's the same situation as Michael Richards. Yeah, it was always viewed that he would come inside. So maybe that's just where we'll stay now.
Jamie Carragher played fullback for years, of course.
He had a go.
But it was a good game, that Valencia game, wasn't it?
It was an excellent game, yeah. And Jose Mourinho angered the Valencia fans after he showed, as one of their players said, a lack of respect in celebrating his team's third goal. He ran down the touchline and jumped on one of the subs' back.
I think it was Callahan.
One of the Real Madrid subs' back. Yeah. That would really take
yeah. yeah. But you wouldn't put it past him.
It was a ridiculous celebration for a manager.
Yeah, it was. He goes over the top, doesn't he?
What's wrong with that?
No, it's good.
No, but I've never seen a Megson.
Yeah, imagine him doing that. Still looking really dour. Just be really sinister.
Allardyce clumping down the touchline at one of his players.
You've done my Achilles in.
Yeah, injury.
Indiana Jones situation if he turned around.
The big story for me in Spain is that Malaga have moved into fourth now.
Yeah.
And if they get into the Champions League positions and finish there, obviously it could all go stratospheric.
was that the big story? For me, the big story was Granada versus Mallorca getting banned after a linesman was hit by an umbrella.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
it cut his cheek quite badly.
Yeah,
how was that like a spike on the end? Sort of thing.
Now, do you know what?
I didn't even know Steve McLaren was there.
Or did it float down like Mary Poppins?
I love this. I absolutely love this. The Granada coach Fabri Gonzalez said about the lad whose umbrella it was. It was a young guy, apparently. I don't know how if the weather is so good in Andalusia, they just don't know how to operate umbrellas. But he said the poor lad still had the handle in his hand and he seems to have lost control. How do you work the
rule? He's not passed his test.
That's what I'm saying. Is it always never get a drop of rain? Yeah. What the hell is this? Yeah. I just don't get that. See, the game was abandoned. The whole game because this lad couldn't work a bleeding umbrella.
That's the fourth official going there.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely staggering. You want to check the betting patterns on that? If anyone's bet on that, then it's suspect.
Yeah. So they're going to have to replay the match. Although in Spain they can be quite funny, can't they? They just probably replay the last half an hour of the game or whatever it was. But the manager was like, we can't fit it in until Christmas because we've got a bit of a fit. It's just like because a lad couldn't
We'll do 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there.
And it's Mallorca. It's living on an island. Because this lad couldn't control an umbrella.
Right, what we'll do is we'll let your fans do it to an islandman and it'll be easier.
I mean, it's raining during the Christmas months, for crying out loud.
There'll be more umbrellas. You shouldn't be taking an umbrella to a football match anyway. Let's be honest, it blocks people's view.
Hence the betting thing, Jim. Could be a thing.
Oh, my Malaga thing, actually. Not fourth, they're fifth.
Right.
And, but I was expecting Levante to fall away, which is pretty
which
much
they are.
I think you make a good point, but might they not be just a little bit too late, Malaga, with the financial fair play rules coming in? Have they really got enough money that they can do it in time? I think they can only make losses of something like €50 million a year, isn't it?
But they're in the Champions League, they'll be making huge money.
Yeah, true.
I just think in Spain it's an interesting situation because you've got the Man City thing. They were buying players they could buy to a level.
195 million.
Well, that's their loss, isn't it? But what I mean is before they got in the Champions League, they were buying these players to a certain level. Once they shoehorned their way in there, then they're going all out. And I think Malaga might do the same. And if you think that Barcelona, Real Madrid aside, those two places are pretty much up for grabs, aren't they? Villarreal are having a terrible time of it. You've got Valencia in there. Atletico, maybe Sevilla perhaps. But Malaga have got the financial muscle and they've signed decent players.
They will have to spend so much so quickly that it might just be a bridge too far.
But how do you think Man City are going to get around it? I don't know.
The way Man City are apparently going to get around it is that they're sponsoring themselves pretty much, aren't they, with the whole sort of Etihad thing. That money's coming from Mansour, but it's a sponsorship thing, so it counts. So
maybe I'll do that.
I don't know.
Well, sure, there's ways of getting around it anyway. I mean, they can't sort of... Will they just sort of take the hit on the fine and just sort of go, oh, sod it?
Yeah.
Surely it can't be a fine.
No.
It must be points. It's got to be points.
No, find how much you've gone over.
You can't play in Europe, is the plan, isn't it?
Oh, that's right. No, that is, you're right.
Oh, they should fine them, like, millions and millions and millions. then they can afford to run the Cup Winners' Cup again.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Anything
put out
to
a memo
get,
to Michel.
Anything to get the Cup Winners' Cup back.
Yeah.
Let's go to Serie A. Juventus 3, Palermo 0. Juve in first.
Mm. I've tipped them for the league. I'm sticking with it.
They played brilliantly against Palermo, didn't they?
They didn't invite them on, though. It was really sort of like... They sort of sat back a little bit and just went, yeah, come at me, bro. It was great to see Del Piero come on.
It was,
last,
wasn't it?
Half
it
an
was,
hour
wasn't
or something.
I tweeted, the new Juve stadium looks like a brilliant place.
It looks bigger. Despite the fact that I think it's smaller.
It's right by the pitch as well, right on the pitch.
Yeah.
They didn't like the Dele Alpi, the Juventus fans, quite famously.
Mm-hmm. No, see,
I don't think they just sold it out or something like that. And bearing in mind, they had semi-finals of the Champions League.
Yeah, because it's in the middle of nowhere, isn't it?
Oh, is that right?
But the thing about Juve is they've obviously got no European football, so they've got plenty of spare time. They've got a bit of a club legend in Conte as the manager, and they've got they signed Pirlo.
Loving Pirlo.
And Matri's in great form.
Lichtstein is
quality. They've got loads of good players,
Yeah, no, they're doing very well. It's very tight at the top in Serie A. Only 1 point separating the top four, although Juventus do have a game in hand. It would be great if Del Piero won the league there in his last season.
Yeah.
Hopefully it won't be his last season. Maybe they'll have a change of heart.
I think it will be. I think so. Did you see, you guys catch Roma Lecce?
No, I never saw that. 2-1?
They won 2-1, yeah, but Osvaldo scored an amazing overhead kick. It was disallowed wrongly.
Oh,
it was given offside. It wasn't offside. And he overhead kicked it right in the absolute rocket.
He was
visibly shaken. I can't believe it.
No one will better Julio Baptista's.
I'm sticking my neck out and saying it's up there with that. Not as good, but it is up there.
Okay.
Very impressive.
Oh, well, that's gutting there.
Yeah. But what I would argue is that will find its way into a YouTube compilation and it will be there for all time.
It's no consolation to him, Pete.
Back in the day, you didn't get that sort of...
That's true. Yeah,
it's true. You could feasibly go on to think, oh, I must have just imagined that.
After a while, yeah.
Yeah, of course you did. Yeah.
I think it's worth pointing out as well how badly Inter are doing as well. I know we've done it before, but they're like, what, they 16th?
Well, they did win, yeah, but... They are struggling. But
it is
ridiculous that they're way down there, and you look at some of the players
they've got.
After
this many games?
Yeah, and you're just thinking, man, that's Inter. What are they doing?
People more sort of learned about Italian football than us have said, though, that, Mourinho left that club, and as soon as he left them, they just completely collapsed.
Well, I think we said that a few weeks ago, absolutely.
And Mourinho's very much like that, isn't he? He'll do that for a certain amount of time, and then he'll just leave, and it'll all go to pieces, They had quite an ageing squad that he left behind, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, yeah. But they've never replaced him.
I don't think they'll finish 16th,
No. There's some nice news coming from Milan. Was Antonio Cassano returned to the club's training ground, Milan's training ground.
Did he have a woman with him?
Either the nurse.
I'm feeling better.
to see his teammates once again. And I think his rehab starts on Monday.
Cool.
Well, good luck.
So, bearing in mind he had, heart surgery. It would have been only a few weeks ago. So nice to see the big man's out. And hopefully be back amongst the goals.
The football world will be a richer place with him back in it.
Absolutely. Very much so.
Did you see the while we're in Italy? Did you see the thing that happened in the Italy's national team game a little while ago with Balotelli? We missed this at the time. I think it was last week.
Well, but they had a wrong shirt on.
Yeah, they had a new kit, and he came on in the second half, and he was wearing the old shirt.
That even
I don't know. He was like made to take it off.
When I saw the headline, I thought, "Oh, did he come out like a '94 kid?"
That'd be great. That would be brilliant. Yeah.
We got a Baggio on the back.
Well, at the weekend, I think Stephen Taylor, the man who just constantly bleeds all the time, he went off briefly. And he came on with a new shirt, but it was one of the youth team shirt. It was like the number 41 or something. So his shirt got on, but he's yet to make his debut in the Premier League.
He's
my shirt's better than me.
Right, let's go to the Bundesliga with the top two faced each other. Bayern Munich versus Borussia Dortmund. 1-0 to Dortmund.
Goetze.
Arsenal
what
target
finish
Goetze.
It was so composed, wasn't it?
Yeah. 19-year-old.
It's Goetze, isn't it? Not Goetze.
Yeah.
Goetze.
Yeah.
Representatives from Arsenal have been watching him for 3 weeks now.
They won't sign him.
We're playing them tomorrow. That's why we're watching them.
Yeah. They won't sign him anyway.
No.
There's no
way. They put a bid in for 35 million, apparently, on the last day of the season. Like, transfer window just gone, which was just sort of rejected out of hand. So there's concrete interest there by the sounds of it, but I can't see it happening.
Yeah.
Especially not in January, like people are saying. Dortmund would be... They would never do that.
They've also, because they lost a few key players as well, haven't they? They lost a couple to Real Madrid and stuff like that, you know. So it'd be hard to. I mean, maybe they can't resist. The problem is, there's probably not the money in German football that there is in the Premier League, and so they might be tempted. They might be tempted to cash
the thing
in.
With,
they can.
The thing with. It wasn't the Dortmund keeper stuck in the changing rooms because he had the wrong shorts on? He had some last season's Italian shorts.
Yeah.
He had a Newcastle youth team play shorts on. No, he had the wrong colour sort of undershort or something, and the referee spotted it and said no.
Yeah, stupid about that. There was a Real Madrid player as well that couldn't come on because he had like white tape on his socks and he had to have red tape on it and something like that.
Well, it's like when Bent had to colour his socks tape in, didn't he, in the World Cup?
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Brilliant.
The thing about, when I sort of like read up about watch German football and stuff, I always end up myself sort of like automatically going towards like the German national team. Like seeing it and going, oh, God. Yeah. God. Yeah. Do you know what I did today? I spent my time working out the most recent squad, what the average age was, and seeing how long they'd be around for. Average age 24. God. Yeah. They hammered Holland as well. They absolutely battered Holland.
They're in the same pot as England.
Yeah, it's true.
That just means they're going to destroy us later.
Which is working for the group.
I genuinely would rather get Spain.
Yeah, I would.
That's right. I think Germans are...
Oh, now we beat them, big mouth. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, we can beat Spain. That's what I'm saying, you know.
They ain't got Messi anymore, have they?
Some people seem to think that.
Yeah, we'll see him in the final, Jimbo.
They'll hammer us.
From our living rooms.
We won't. Let's go back to the Bundesliga, though. I think that's where we began this chat. Dortmund, brilliant result against Bayern away in Munich. I thought they were going to win, though, because their coach Jürgen Klopp said ahead of the game, when we started studying our system, it was more of a case of Swan Lake.
Yeah.
Now we always want to grab the ball like piranhas.
So again, a very mixed
strange analogy. One. Strange one that.
But I like the analogy, going after the ball like piranhas.
It's an excellent result for them because Bayern have conceded few goals at home. Mm. They're still top, aren't they, Bayern?
Yeah, they are, but Dortmund, they're not far behind. Though,
Dortmund, Mönchengladbach and Schalke are right behind them. Mm. Huntelaar and on the
Schalke goals. Have got a player called Lewis Holtby and he's German.
Yeah, I looked into Lewis Holtby because that is weird and his dad was from Liverpool. There's a quote from him which I found. And again, it's one of those really funny German sort of strange translations where there's exclamation marks in things that don't seem like they should be there, so I'm just going to read it out for you. My father was born in England and was an Everton fan since the age of 5. He immediately infected me with the Everton virus. Take that exclamation
there's
mark
a medical
out.
Term for that
Holtby. And there's Aaron Hunt as well at Bremen,
English mother as well. So
they're stealing our bloody players.
What I'm saying is,
no, they're not.
Next England manager needs to be an Englishman. Jack Charlton, get those guys in. Everyone wins.
Yeah, that, I'm having that.
Holtby's been capped for Germany. I'm not sure if Aaron Hunt has, but Holtby's definitely been capped.
So we're out in Brazil and he's sort of going, I've got to get my water to much Germans.
So you're saying because we don't produce maybe technically gifted players like the Germans and Spaniards and all, we just go and nick their players?
I'm suggesting that their parents are going, hey, looks like he might be quite a player. Let's get to Germany now. Get there now.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he's realised maybe how lucky we were to have Hargreaves.
Yeah, exactly.
Similar situation.
Yeah.
Similar situation.
Till he collapsed.
Exploded.
He'll be back.
Till the English part of him.
We need him.
Yeah, exactly. It was only the English part of him.
It couldn't handle it. Like, his body couldn't handle what he was trying to learn.
The English part of him kept rejecting it.
My legs don't move like that.
Stop lumping it. I can't help it.
Right, let's go to Holland, where Louis van Gaal is set to take over as general director of Ajax.
Fun time, Louis.
From July next year. Now, but you're never going to believe this, but there's a Dutchman who's really angry about this.
He dropped to racialism as well.
Allegedly. David has said he's not, but Johan Cruyff, it's fair to say, is raging.
Why is Johan Cruyff such an insufferable piss twit? He's an absolute...
I have a bit of respect for one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah, on the field, he's amazing. And Edgar Davids did sort of say he is the greatest footballer or whatever. But no, he didn't say he's a great human being. He said he was very talented.
He didn't want to lie, did he?
Because he's demonstrably not.
People need to stop telling Cruyff this. Yeah. They need to put like video montages together where it's edited to make him look shit. Just to go, look, be humble. Yeah. You're remembering this differently.
Johan Cruyff and Van Gaal were teammates, albeit briefly, at Ajax. But they famously never got on. And the great thing is about this decision, it was made by the Ajax board when Cruyff was in Barcelona. As soon as he went away, right, get in, quickly.
Hey, look over there.
Yeah.
It's interesting, and it's in inevitable, isn't it? Because you can start any sentence with Johan Cruyff or Louis van Gaal and end it with famously didn't get on. And
yeah, it works.
Makes
well.
Sense if you put those two together.
Well, it is incredible that van Gaal's actually looking to go there, because he said that as long as Johan is there, it's impossible for me to go. Basically,
they should do like a tag team wrestle with like Stoichkov and Hagi or something.
Cruyff said with regards to this, they said to him, "What do you think of this decision?" And he just went, "Oh, you think you're on the right road, and then suddenly this happened." Legally, they all know how it works, but of course, it stinks all around. He's up fuming.
Well, I'm sure he'll just go quietly and it'll all be fine.
A man who, in the week, did say Edgar Davids, "You are only here because you are black." I mean, really?
Allegedly.
Yeah. No, he's definitely said it, but you know,
yeah, he did say that.
Okay. Yeah.
He's explained. Stop scowling. He explained himself. He said there was a point to it, but that is a sentence that never needs to be said ever.
Yeah. But with regards to the previous van Gaal and Cruyff, it's the only time perhaps Sepp Blatter's advice might work. Just shake and make up.
Christ on a bike.
Are we going to go into that now? We're here.
Go on.
I think it's been done.
It has been done. But I just want to say, I think it's.
Are you going to defend him?
This has been a perfect opportunity of all these sort of like racialist storms coming up for them to actually do something, you know, make an example out of you know, these, not even necessarily
these
players.
And what do they do? Misquote him.
Yeah. But I think, you know, if something like this happens, surely they can just say, right, that's a 10-game ban if you're proven wrong. Something like that. Something, rather than going, oh, just shake on it.
Yeah.
It's they've dropped the ball so badly, and that's what it's disappointing as
much
as it is.
You sound surprised by it.
Old fat white man out of touch. Who knew?
No, I shouldn't be. It's just so disappointing.
Yeah. It should be a heavy fine.
Yeah.
Heavy fine and everything. Big
if you
listen to Dave Whelan about it. Well, he knows what he's talking
listen
about.
Listen to the Czech Republic FA.
Yeah, okay.
Because they've produced a heavy fine to their own players. They've fined their own team €78,000 because the national team were filmed at the Montenegro airport, which of course they won in Montenegro and they progressed to the European Championship.
Not in the airport.
On the way home on the flight, apparently they all started getting naked. And by the time they landed back in Prague, many of the players were only wearing their briefs or pantaloons.
Pantaloons.
All got a bit Led Zeppelin.
When some of the team walked through walked through Prague's airport lounge half naked, apparently. I love Vladimir Smeets.
I like to think
manager.
That one of them's wearing like half a suit, sort of sideways down.
I like to think that it was only like a 40-minute flight or something. Somehow.
Smeets, who's of course the manager of the team, brilliant, he said it was youthful indiscretion. It began with the younger ones and unfortunately spread like an epidemic.
like supporting Everton.
But yeah, everyone's mad in the Czech Republic. They're saying they've marred the celebrations and all.
Well, it's a bit classless, really. If it happened in England, people would be kicking off about it.
Do you think?
Oh, come on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I've got.
They did win in the playoffs as well. It's not like they came top of their group murdered everyone.
To be fair, they were in the same group as Spain.
I know.
Right then, before we go to the emails, a couple of results we've got to mention. MLS, LA Galaxy 1, Houston Dynamo 0. D-Beck wins the cup.
He put in so many crosses for people, they just muffed it up.
He could barely move as well.
He's not there to move.
He's got a torn hamstring, isn't he?
It's pass and pass.
Yeah. It's interesting how they tried to cover that up, didn't they? Beckham, they released a little statement saying he's got a cold. And he apparently was properly sniffing in press conferences, putting it on to throw them off the scent that he was injured, because it would have gone mental if they'd known.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think he's torn. I think he's just got a slight sort of strain, isn't he, or something?
I think it's a slight tear. I don't know. It's nothing
he
too
can still
serious.
Play
but
in the MLS at the age of 36, with a hamstring injury.
Is it the young Brazilian lad Juninho beside him, who basically does all the running for him?
That's what you want.
Exactly. He should definitely. I think he should stay there. You know, I love D-back, and we all do. And but should he be really considering going to PSG?
You look at D-back. Loves his kids, doesn't he? Clearly an amazing dad. They're really happy there, apparently.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if he stays there for them.
I think so. One quick result then from Uruguay, Nacional versus Peñarol. It ended 2-1 to Nacional and a 92nd minute winner from the penalty spot.
Wow.
For the boys from Nacional.
From Alvaro Recoba.
Yeah.
No less.
Have the riots subsided?
Yeah. If I was the ref, I'd be like, oh, lads,
exactly.
Come on.
It was
the penalty.
It was a blatant handball, but still, though, what a decision to have to
make. But you'd just be like, you've let us down here, players, to be fair.
I've seen Uruguayan league football and Argentinian league football. You've got to go some to win a penalty. You've got to really, really get hurt to win a penalty.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Right, it's time for Going for Gold.
Going for Gold. Gold. It is time for Going for Gold. Let me just write down who it actually is, because I haven't done that yet. I have done that now.
Paolo Maldini.
It's not Paolo Maldini.
Surely you already know.
That's not even a guess. I guess I forget and blurt out. What did I blurt out a few
Benito
weeks ago?
Carbone.
Benito Carbone for no reason. Right, Luke's on 5. Marcus is on 5. Jim is on 4. And I am on 1. So Jimmy got a chance to achieve
to
parity.
Yeah,
exactly.
5 points is the number, as we've said. So.
That's right.
Would you like the first clue?
Yes.
I was born in Sims Hill, Glasgow.
Stop. Gary McAllister.
No, not Gary McAllister.
Stop. Ali McCoist.
No, not Ali McCoist.
I was thinking McCoist as well, actually.
Second clue. Glasgow is in Scotland.
Good. Stop.
You want to go for that one, do you?
Gordon Strachan.
Not Gordon Strachan. I started my career in 1973.
Stop. David Weir.
Not
David Weir. David Weir's a good one.
I have played for Wollongong City.
Stop. Kanu.
Stop.
Not Kanu.
Mo Johnson.
No.
That was career in 73.
We're only on four clues. Let's get through them.
Stop. Graham Souness.
No, Graham Souness.
Just name it Scotsman.
My second club.
He's born in Edinburgh, anyway.
My second club in Nazel was Detroit Express. My first club was Ipswich.
Stop. John Walker.
No.
Oh,
no.
Oh,
no, I don't think his first club was Ipswich, was it?
I have won the UEFA Cup twice for two different clubs.
Stop. Alan Brazil.
Alan Brazil.
Yeah! Oh, fair play, fair play.
Turns out he was a footballer. My middle name is Bernard. 13 games for Scotland. My career ended at 27 after a back injury.
I've got a great story about Alan Brazil. Someone told me once that he was...
Does it involve alcohol, Luke?
No, it doesn't. Sort of, indirectly.
It will have been in the system.
Yeah.
It won't be on the death certificate, but it will be involved somehow.
He basically was told on the breakfast show to announce the death.
He's on 5 Live, is it?
Of John Thor, who was Inspector Morse, famous, famous actor. And what he'd been doing when he was, because obviously it's live radio and the breakfast show, a lot of new stuff. He was basically saying my name. He kept getting the name wrong, saying his name was John Shaw.
Right.
And then someone came in in the middle of a news break or an ad break and said, Alan, you need to correct yourself because the guy's died. His name's John Thor. He's quite famous. Mm. It's a bit disrespectful. You keep calling him John Shaw, so you need to make an apology and get his name right off the top of the news. He said, "Okay, yeah, fine, Harris, I will do." And come back off the news, and they say, and he goes, "Oh, I'm very sorry, I've been making a mistake. The guy's died. Actually, John Thor." Not John Shaw. Keep getting his name wrong. If you're listening, John, many apologies.
Oh, my goodness.
If I was in heaven and I had all the radio stations to choose from.
You'll be listening to Talks
We'll be listening to Talks About.
Send me back. I've got to haunt this prick. is it time for an email?
It is.
Thank you for your
email,
lady.
I'm going to put it out there. This is a damn fine intro.
Mm.
Ramble Beasts. Grrr.
Yeah,
that's odd. It's a new one. Yeah. While studying at Stirling Uni a good 10 or so years ago, I went to watch Stirling Albion versus Inverness Calithistle in the Scottish Second Division. A dreadful match, obviously, was punctuated by two highlights. The first was playing What the Fuck is Bino? I presume that's pronounced Bino. While my friends and I tried to guess what creature Bino, the Stirling mascot, was based upon. our best guess was a sloth, but given their lackadaisical nature, I doubt that was a likely or appropriate animal for a mascot. The second highlight was what the rather vocal fella in front of us, who punctuated the silence of the few hundred present with a classic insult in the direction of Duncan Shearer, the Cali Thistle manager. He cried, "Look at you, I bet you dip your fucking chips." This bizarre comment was greeted by laughter in the stands and a confused look from Duncan Shearer. I still have no idea what was meant. Chris in Glasgow, different one from last week. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. Oh, Duncan Shearer.
I love the way the manager can hear him. That's great. There's no way they're going to have a mascot as a sloth. No way.
It'd be a great one, though. You'd have it on the crossbar before the game.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Leave it there.
Not to mention big Duncan Shearer. Is that the ginger-haired striker for Aberdeen? Was it?
Statistically, yes. Yeah.
Nice one. It's profile time. How about that? Always happens.
How do you like them profile apples?
Always happens. Now, who have we got? It's, oh my goodness, it's Giuseppe Meazza.
Legend.
Only Mr. San Siro.
Yeah. To you. It's Dr. San Siro to you.
See what you've done there, Jimbo. Whoa, now let's get the most important thing out of the way first. He was born on the 23rd of August, 1910.
57 years before that summer of love.
Before that summer. Before that. So he lived through it. He lived through it. Many in Italy regard this man as the greatest Italian player of all time.
In he comes.
That's going some.
Yeah.
Well, there's been a few from that land, I can tell you, Petey. Well, you know. he was known as Peppino to those who knew him well. He was a superb footballer and a real character off the field too. We'll get to that in just a short while. His name is, of course, synonymous with the mighty Inter. He's quite an iconic guy, is Giuseppe Meazza. For even the way he looks as well. He had the slick back hair. He's quite a good-looking guy.
Very handsome chap.
Yes, yeah. Indeed he was.
And he's a pioneer of cheekbones.
He flaunted that, I feel, as well.
He had what you'd call a sort of strong face. Like a very strong...
Yeah.
Sort of
striking look.
Yeah. Classic. Yeah.
If you said draw a man, you'd draw his face.
Yeah, yeah, you would. Absolutely. That's right, you would.
Striking would be apt as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, indeed, yeah, he was a striker. Indeed, he was a striker. When he turned 16, on that very same day, his hero, the famous Italian actor Rudolf Valentino, died, and from then on he slicked his hair back as a tribute to Valentino, and that was to become his
precocious youngster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Indeed. Meazza was from a poor background himself, and sadly his dad died during the First World War, so you know, a present of a pair of football boots, flipping heck.
That's great.
Well appreciated.
And that guy inadvertently made a huge impact on Italian football by doing that.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? Yeah. One sort of small gesture.
He's quite a slight chap, old Meazza, but not frail, but quite... people would think he's there for the bullying.
They'd underestimate him.
They would indeed.
Yeah.
They would indeed.
They'd be wrong to do that,
wouldn't they? Just. He played up front and was always amongst the girls. Girls? Yeah. Well, that's relevant as well. Amongst the goals as well from a very early age.
He certainly was around in the summer of
Milan turned him down because they thought he wasn't big enough to be a footballer.
How many times do we hear this in every profile?
They're kids. They get bigger.
When are they going to learn?
Inter overlooked that and he played for their youth setup, or in their youth setup, for 3 years. He made his debut 17 years old in a pre-season tournament in Como in northern Italy, and Inter were often the whipping boys in that tournament, losing out to their rivals Milan. And before one of the matches in the tournament, one of Inter's midfielders, Gippo Viani, saw the young Peppino. And Peppino was getting on his kit at the time, and obviously he was going to be playing, it would be apparent. And the Viani said sarcastically in a high-pitched voice, "Ooh, are we making the kids play now?"
Yeah.
Meazza scored 2 goals that game, and Inter went on to win the tournament with a young lad playing a starring role.
I like the thing that you went back, "Yes, we are."
Do you want some humble lasagna?
2 years later, when he was 19, he won the Scudetto with Inter and became the darling of Italian football. Very skillful player who would entertain the crowds no end, score goals, but he wouldn't just score, he was a creator as well. A lot of bag of tricks, a real all-round player.
People see his scoring record and think, oh, he's just, you know, gets amongst the goals and he's a bit of a poacher, but he wasn't that. He was very much involved in a lot of the build-up, a very creative player as well.
Would you say a complete player?
I think I would, actually, yeah.
In that season when they won the league, he scored 33 goals. He would get kicked all over the park by the opposition, but still managed to produce the goals. He was quite well known because he would often dribble past like the whole defence, sell a dummy, his trademark dummy, to the keeper, and then just stroke the ball into the empty net, which would just piss the opposition players and fans off no end. So you get more treatment. And
I love it when a player's got like a special move like that. Yeah. They've got this thing they do all the time.
Finish him. Yeah. In his first 2 seasons playing for Inter, he scored 64 goals in all competitions. Bear in mind, he was still a teenager. A few years later, in 1929, he got a double hat trick in one game. That's 6.
Yeah.
In case your math was a bit skew-iff. And playing, it was against Roma, I think. In 1930, he scored a hat trick inside the opening 3 minutes.
Is that the one where he really annoyed the goalkeeper?
I've no doubt he did hurt the keeper somewhat.
Because James Horncastle was telling me that he did this, and I think he scored 4 in the game in the end. And apparently, like, the 4th goal he scored, the keeper like chased him back to the sort circle, like spun him round and gave him the old umbrella they call it in Italy, go fuck off sign.
Yeah.
I said, stop this, please. This is ridiculous.
I can't stop it.
I'm supposed to be doing it.
There's people watching.
Yeah.
They've come to see.
stop it. Yeah. That's what you're for.
Yeah. Come to see me. Yeah. His debut for the Italian national team came in 1930 against Switzerland, still only 19 years old. Scored a couple, of course, in a 4-2 win. Why wouldn't he? Now, as we said earlier, or as I said earlier, he was a bit of a ladies' man. He was loved by the fans, but he was loved by the women even more. He was the first Inter player to drive a sports car as well. So he's a bit flash.
Where did you get that?
I'd love to be known for that.
Did they have the aforementioned horses?
Well, I think it was you're quite a flash going around town with his slick back hair and.
He's Mario Balotelli.
Yeah. Pre-runner. He liked a night out on the town. This is quite a well-known story. He once woke up at 2 in the afternoon.
And he was due.
Well, hang on.
What a decadent life.
Yeah. Well, he was due on pitch an hour later. The game was kicking off at 3 that he was due to appear in. He ran outside. He apparently hailed a taxi down in his pyjamas, arrived at the stadium 10 minutes before kickoff. And as Meazza himself said, luckily I live near the stadium and I managed to get there in the rush. My teammates and the coach looked at me disapprovingly. Well, I'm not surprised. Yeah. It was only 5 minutes before the kickoff, so I changed quickly and joined them on the pitch. I could hear the Inter director saying, we'll deal with him after the match. We'll find out what he's been up to. Luckily, I scored a hat-trick, so no one said a word afterwards.
And he did it every Saturday after that.
Yeah. Woke up an hour before the game.
Saw the goalkeeper as Trey Mac dummy, vomited, scored the goal.
Yeah. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I mean, there would have been umpteen amount of stories like that. I'd imagine he was 24 when Italy hosted the 1934 World Cup. Meazza was on form and Italy won the blooming tournament. Incredible scenes for them. Now he scored 28 goals in 30 games in that season, a few years in 37-38 season, which was going into the 38 World Cup when Italy won it again. We've mentioned before they might have got a little helping hand from a few backhanders.
So they definitely did.
Yeah, they did. But he was still decent though, and they were still a good side. The great moment from that tournament, which is one of his great moments in an Italian shirt, was when he was playing against Brazil in the semi-final. He was about to take a penalty and the elastic on his shorts snapped and they were kind of falling down, but he'd gone back and he was just about to start his run up and it happened. Now he didn't even stop or anything just to adjust. He carried on with the run up, just grabbed his shorts, pulled them back up, sent the keeper the wrong way, bomb, scored.
Ridiculous.
Just so cool. So calm. Absolutely incredible.
Imagine how many goals he'd have scored in his career if all this stuff didn't happen to him.
He linked up very well with fellow Dwarf inductee Silvio Piola during that tournament.
That's a strike force, isn't it?
Yeah.
Come on.
Apparently, Meazza was the only player in the national team that was allowed to smoke. And he would do so even in front of the manager
during the game.
Just smoke tactics, just sitting in the corner having a fag. Yeah, I'll score.
Yeah.
It's fine. Unfortunately, in his late 20s, I think it was blood circulation problems in one of his feet. He started to lose the feeling in one of them, and understandably he was never quite the same player after that, but he was still very good though.
With one functioning foot.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's a measure of the man.
He finished playing with Inter in 1940 and went on to Milan, controversially, and Juventus amongst others afterwards, but he did make it back to his beloved Inter for his final year of his career, which was in the late 40s. After playing, he did try his hand at coaching, and he was the first, I think he might have been the first Italian coach to go abroad. Went to Besiktas in Turkey.
In his sports car?
He drove there, yeah.
Or on his horse. We're not clear on this yet.
He coached Inter and Atalanta as well, and the national side for a short period, but never really, nearly quite did it as a coach.
People say he's sort of guilty of that thing that a lot of great players are guilty of when it comes to management. They sort of get frustrated. They always talk about their own career and stuff. Yeah. Why can't you do this? But one thing he did do as youth coach of Inter, which contributes to his legacy, is that he, when he was a youth team coach, he spotted and brought through two legendary Inter players, Sandro Mazzola and Facchetti, who both went on to win the European Cup back to back with Herrera, and that great Herrera side in the 60s. And both stayed into their entire careers. So, you know, that his legacy lived on through them, really.
All from a pair of football boots.
Exactly.
He scored 33 goals for the Italian national side, and it was the it was the record until Gigi Riva broke it. So he's now the second highest scorer. But as Miazza said, that Riva is good. He scored a lot of goals against Cyprus and Turkey. Surely my goals were much more important.
Team Miazza.
So yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I mean, well, it's not that funny because it's quite a defensive side, but only 36 goals, I think, yeah. Is Riva, or 35-36.
Yeah.
Top scorer for the Italian national team. Miazza died in 1979, and sensationally, with the agreement of AC Milan, Inter renamed the San Siro Stadium in honour of him to the Stadio Giuseppe Miazza, which is the official name of the stadium. Well, obviously, everyone Absolutely. Often refers to it as San Siro because that's the area it's in.
Well, he turned out for Milan for a little bit.
He did, yeah. He did, yeah. But it's good of them to, I mean...
Yeah, he's certainly much more of an Inter legend.
Oh, of course he is, yeah. Yeah,
it is a good gesture from Milan.
Yeah. He's also a FIFA Hall of Champions inductee and an Italian Hall of Fame entrant. So, yeah, that's the warm-up.
Yeah.
He'll have a hat-trick in just a brief moment. I'll finish with a quote from the Italian national coach from the 30s, Vittorio Pozzo. He said, having Miazza in your team meant you started one goal up.
Yeah, there it is.
Come on. Get in here. Here he comes, Pepino. Right then, Ramble folk, that is the end of the show for this week. If you'd like to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com, isn't it, Jim?
Yes, it is. This week on the blog, there are suggestions for how to oust Sepp Blatter. Let's focus on Dybeck's LA Galaxy triumph and a look at the Women's League in Australia, with the women's national team genuinely being known as the Matildas.
Yeah, I saw that. Great
stuff. Yeah. There's also the Retro Ramble, this time looking at Monaco's 3-2 victory over Juventus in the 1998 Champions League semi-final second leg.
Great team, that Monaco team. A forgotten team. It was only Peruzzi that kept him in it.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, that was over two ties as well, over two legs. Yeah, so that was incredible set of games. There's also live fantasy football with Pick Live, the Dean Winners Hall of Fame, and the famous forum. So get over there because it is far more interesting than your job.
Yeah,
I presume.
Might not be.
Yes, the Football Ramble drinks are this Saturday. So this show comes out on the Wednesday. The 26th is the Saturday following it. And that's when the Ramble drinks are. They're at a pub called the King's Arms in Liverpool Street in East London. We'll be printing the guest list out, which you've got to be on by clicking attending on the Facebook event or emailing us at show@thefootballramble.com out on about Friday evening. So you need to be on there before then. It'll be a lot of fun. The King's Arms in East London. It's all the details are online. 3 p.m. start.
There we go. Right then. I'd like you to say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
And you, Pete.
Goodbye, Marcus.
And you, Luke.
Goodbye, all of you.
And it's goodbye from me. Now's the end of the ramble. See you on Saturday. Just a short while.
Miazza. Do you want to be in my gang? My gang, my gang.
You want to be in my gang? Oh, yeah! I'm a leader. I'm a leader. I'm a leader of the gang.
Pedo!
That's not his dance!
That's Jagger.
Big Jagger, you mental.
I can't do glitter.
Come on.
Anyway, one of the greatest Italian footballers of all time.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.